lead us in song.
For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm covered by that.
Well, I can hardly handle even thinking about him being faithful to me. Thank you, Brother Joe. I'm gonna preach his word this morning. I have a message on my heart. If you take your Bible and go with me to 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter. I'm telling you, God's in this house this morning. Does anybody know that? I already feel conviction. There's somebody right now sitting in this house. And if you'd obey your heart, you'd just jump up and come right now and give your life to Christ. Because he's dealing with you that profoundly. He wants you. He wants to save you. But don't leave this house and not let him take over this morning. It's so good to see visitors coming in, and I don't count them visitors no longer, okay? God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Turn in your Bible now. The book of 2 Peter. I want to preach this morning like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. You got that? The coming of the Lord. Like a thief in the night. Let's read the word of God. And Peter was so powerful in the things he wrote about this. I love it. Verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 3. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. And a thousand years is one day. Now listen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. I love this. But is long-suffering to usward. Boy, that's really speaking to somebody this morning. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. What a God. Oh, what a God. What a God. Not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. Said it slowly there. Repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now you got to hear this. It's extremely important. And the elements shall melt. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. You look around yourself at all that men have created, all that men have made so beautiful, and all that men have accomplished in the world of whatever, you know, building, economics, the technical world, all the great learning of humankind. Remember, everything they've learned was already there. God made it. They just learned how to harness it a little bit. I always think that's so beautiful. What a disgrace it is when men claim this great learning as though it was theirs. Now listen, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of man or person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing then that the firmament of the heavens is going to melt with fervent heat, and all the works of man are going to burn up, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now I love verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the of God. Hastening unto the coming. Man, I'm so hungry for God to come, I know hardly how to say it. I mean, every day, I want to see him more intimately. I want to see him more sincerely. I'm just waiting for him. Hallelujah. When the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements melt with fervent heat, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. Wherefore, beloved, are you listening? How many of you are one of the beloved? One of the beloved. You're saved. He loves you. Come on, let me see your hand. You know what it means when he says, one of the beloved? He's talking to his children, friends. He's talking to his family. Oh, I love it. I really do love it. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot or blemish. He ain't coming for a bunch of nasty people. Now, I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritually. Somebody tell me about a person they saw this week. They used to be a Christian. And they said they smelled so terrible. Out there in the midst of that world, their hair has got long. The hair has got, you know, completely beyond keeping. This is a young man. And literally, he's unclean. But his uncleanness physically is really not a problem. I could hug his neck right now if he walked in this door. Wouldn't even ask a question. You say the smell would be horrendous. What about the smell? What is really terrible is the sin that's got a hold of his heart. I want to see him saved. I weep when I think about him. I really do. I weep because he said, without blemish. All right, I'm preaching this morning like a thief in the night. Father, help your servant to preach this morning as he ought. Hide me in the Holy Ghost. Don't let nobody see me. Let them hear from you, God. Save somebody this morning. I claim them right now. Would you help me claim somebody? Save somebody this morning. In Jesus' name, and you may be seated. Like a thief in the night. Let me say several things here to give you some sense of the urgency and the immediacy and the excitement of his coming. Let's try to get a picture of what his coming is going to be like. We're talking about Jesus appearing up in the heavens. We're talking about him coming down into the mid-air. That's the heavens above us. That's where we get our oxygen from, the mid-air. Coming down right above us, visible to the earth, and we'll be caught up to meet him in the clouds, in the air. Okay? That's marvelous. You know, that sounds ridiculous to people who've never heard about it. That sounds so out of character with anything they understand from the scientific world and from their learning experiences until to think of Jesus appearing physically and bodily up in the heavens and the power of the resurrection taking hold of a multitude of people. Millions of them buried beneath the surface of the earth in mausoleums, in places long forgot to be a graveyard, in places that men wouldn't think of a graveyard being. And all of a sudden he comes in the mid-air, and men, women by the thousands and millions are caught up from the dead and the living to meet him in the air. We're going to meet him up there in the air. The world will be able to look up there and see us departing. Can you imagine what they're going to think when they look up there and see us leaving? Can you imagine? I don't know how to tell you how awesome it's going to be. In fact, I think about it and I try to figure out some aspects of it myself. In fact, I prayed concerning this sermon and I told the Lord I wanted him to give me his reasons, right out of his heart, of why he would come and get us before the 7 years of wrath begin. I wanted to know why he wants to come and get us before Jesus pours out his wrath on this earth. I wanted to know what God was thinking. Now, I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I want to first tell you this event will be so wonderful, there will be no warning. You got to hear me when I tell you there will be no warning. I want you to get it in your mind and your thoughts. It will happen so spontaneous. It will happen so imminent. It will happen so suddenly until the world is going to be completely thrown out of their ability to think. I'm at 82. When something frustrates me, It really messes me up. Things get in my way. I drop things. Anybody else doing things like that? Let me see your hand. Come on, help me. Oh, I thank God. Oh, young people are doing that, Brother Dylan. I can't believe that. I get frustrated like a while ago when we started praying, and all of a sudden it felt like I was going to faint. I'm amazed at it. Now, you imagine Jesus appearing in those heavens and I wasn't ready to go. What do you think would happen to me? I'd pass out. There will be millions laying on the ground, completely unconscious. They will pass out from the fear and the glory too of that event. And it'll be sudden. It'll be just like any old ordinary day. It'll be just like you going down the highway, everything's fine, and all of a sudden a car runs across the road and hits you. It'll be just that sudden. No expectation, no understanding, just suddenly he comes. And those are ready to leave. Woo, what a day that's going to be. No warning. There will be no casual leaving. Now you got to hear this one. There will be no casual leaving. What do you mean, Reverend Chambers? I mean, if you aren't expecting and you aren't looking and you aren't planning, you ain't leaving. If you're just going about life like you would normally, with pleasures and making money and having a picnic and everybody's having fun, I get amazed at the things they call fun today. I really do. I get amazed at what they do for entertainment. I get amazed at all of that. But I want to tell you something, friend. If you go in that rapture, you will go in that rapture because you prepared to go. Now, you better hear that. I'm not kidding you. I don't think there's anything I'll say this morning that's more urgent than me telling you there's nobody leaving here casually. There's nobody leaving here who wasn't expecting to go. There's nobody leaving here who hadn't made all the preparations necessary. There'll be no casual leaving. Now, that is awesome to think about. You say, Reverend Chambers, did you come up with that? No. The Holy Ghost poured it in my heart. There'll be no casual leaving. There'll be nobody, well, man, I didn't know this was the day. It looks like I'm going to get to go. No, you ain't going nowhere if you didn't know this was the day. Now, that's scary. It's scary to think that there'll be nobody leaving casually. That's awesome, Brother Marlon. Do you get what I'm saying? Please don't miss what I'm saying. There'll be no casual leaving. You'll either have made preparation to go or you aren't going. And I'm telling you this morning, I wouldn't leave this building if I wasn't totally ready. Hallelujah. I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him before dinner time today. I'm looking for him before service time tonight. It's youth service tonight. That's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. But I may not be here. Go on with it, Dylan. I'm kidding at him. He don't plan to be here either. You better not plan to be here. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, are you trying to scare us? I'm trying to scare the socks off of you. If you don't think I want to scare you, I sure do. If you're not already concerned, I want to scare you. Oh, no casual going. No casual going. Only those who have accepted his invitation. Now, you got to hear me. You don't go to weddings casually. You don't ride down the highway and say, whoo, they're having a wedding down there. I think I'll drop in. No. You don't go to weddings like that. You accept the invitation. So you've accepted the invitation. And I don't know about you. What do you call it? RSP. What do you call that you send back? RSVP. Is that it? B? P. E? Why don't you talk plain? I'm kidding, Eddie. It's me that don't hear plain. All right. How many? I got an invitation to a birthday party, and I sent back an acceptance. I got an invitation 66 years ago to a wedding in the sky. Woo! And I sent back my acceptance, and I've been ready 66 years. I don't believe. Oh, hallelujah! Nobody goes but those who've accepted the invitation. Oh, I like that. I just think that's something special. Hallelujah. Nobody goes but those who've accepted the invitation. R-S. V. Well, that's easy. R-S-V-P. V as in Victor. That's how you have to talk to the old man. Hallelujah. R-S-V-P. Hallelujah. Father, R-S-V-P right now. I'm ready to go. Jason, bless your heart. Listen, church. Listen to me, church. You've got to accept the invitation. Now, I want to do something this morning, and I want to make it really plain. How many of you have heard the invitation? He said, come unto me, all you that heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, but you go on with all those promises. And then he says, he's coming. Now, how many have received the invitation and you're ready to answer? Yes, Lord, I'm waiting on you any moment. Jump up and stand up right quick, will you? I'm ready. I'm waiting. I've been invited and I'm leaving. I've been invited and I'm going. I've been invited and I can't hardly wait. I got my wedding garment on. Hallelujah. My heart's been washed from the powers of sin. Hallelujah. And I'm ready. Come, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. I want to try to get up a little higher so I can go a little faster. Hallelujah. He's coming, church. I said he's coming. And only those who've accepted the invitation are going. Now shout hallelujah before you're seated. Hallelujah. If I wasn't ready to go, I'd get up right now and head to this altar. I'm finished preaching next Sunday morning. Don't worry about me. Hallelujah. If you want to make sure you're ready and you want to accept the invitation and you haven't, you're invited. Is that okay? Oh, I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready now. You don't go to weddings in your overalls and your cowboy boots. Well, I guess you could wear cowboy boots to a wedding. Martin says that I'm not going if I can't wear my cowboy boots. No, you'll leave them anyway. But how many go to the wedding without getting dressed? When I go to a wedding, I wear the best I got. I get me a new clean shirt, put me on a good, I like good colors and neckties. I can't stand the old dull things. So if you ever buy me one, and this is not an invite, I got more. Mama used to scream about all the neckties I had. Daddy, please don't go buy no more neckties. I got them by the scads. Come over to my house, I'll give you a half a dozen. I would. I'll let you go in there and pick anything you want. I don't care. When I wear them 7 times, I don't want to ever see them again. I don't like used neckties that I've used. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about getting ready for a wedding. I'm telling you, you don't go in this wedding with your casual life. You don't go in this wedding acting like you don't care how you look. You don't go in this wedding being just careless and acting like you actually go get a bath. How many of you get a shower when you go into a wedding? Let me see your hand. I'm watching. You have to forgive me. I'm as mischievous as I can be. The older I get, the more mischievous I am. But I want to tell you something. If you go in this wedding, you're going to get dressed. You're going to have on the right garments. It's going to be as white as the riven snow. It's going to be as pure. It's going to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's going to be a pure language and a pure attitude. You won't go around getting mad at everybody. You won't be fussing about everything. The person in front of you that doesn't move quick enough when the light changes won't make you mad like it's been making you. Because you're ready to go in that rapture. Hallelujah, you got the dress on. You got the attire on. You're ready to go. You're dressed with the right garment, holiness and righteousness. And I'm preaching too long on these little points. But one more thing I got to say. You got to hear this. You don't go to a wedding without a gift. How many of you would go to a wedding and not bring a gift? Huh? Oh, this one gets me. You know what I'm going to carry? Every person I've won to Christ in my 66 years is going to be my gift to him at the wedding. He's not looking for you to carry him some gold and silver. He's not looking for another offering. He's looking for somebody you led to the cross. The gift of a person attending this wedding should be souls, Brother Marlon. You say, Brother Chambers, I've never won anybody to Christ. I'm not sure you're saved. If you've never won nobody to Jesus, what is wrong? How can you eat of this tree of life and drink from the fountain that never runs dry? How can you be filled with such a beauty and such a loveliness in your soul and never want somebody else to have the same gift that you have got? Are you listening to me? This morning, and this really is heavy on me, I want to awaken you to being a soul winner. So that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, oh God, help me, that you've got souls in your little spiritual basket to take with you into the wedding chamber. And you can say here, Lord, oh, I want to stand there on that day, or sit maybe on that day, and maybe he will have a table where I can sit, and those I have won to Christ can come over and sit with me. Hallelujah. I know nothing more wonderful. I remember Michelle Dry's mother. Her name was Ann. She became extremely sick with cancer. She was in the hospital for surgery. But everybody knew that Ann was really sick unto death. And Juanita and I went up to visit with Ann. And went into the room, and there was a crowd in there. And we wanted to win Ann to Christ. We knew she claimed to be a Christian. But we knew from her lifestyle that it was just a claim. It wasn't real. And I'll never forget, I said to everybody in the room, I want to know if y'all would mind leaving and let Sister Chambers and I have a while with Ann to just visit her and pray with her. And everybody left. And I looked at Ann and I said, Ann, you're so heavy on me and I'm weeping for your soul. Oh, Brother Chambers, you don't need to weep for my soul. I'm all right. I'm ready to go. I listened a little bit, and I didn't argue. I just let the Holy Ghost guide me. And finally, I said, Ann, I want to ask you something, and I want you to look at your life as I ask you. And I asked her several questions. And when I got through the last one, she almost screamed at me. I'm not ready, am I? That's what she said. I'm not ready, am I? I said, no, Ann, I already knew it, but I wanted you to know it. She said, well, I'm ready now to give my life to Christ. Did anybody ever doubt she got saved? Nobody ever doubted that Ann Rayl got saved. She was so brand new. She was so different. I remember the day she died, right there in the hospital. Hallelujah. She'll be at my table. I don't know what you think about that, but I can't think of anything more wonderful than somebody you led to Christ. And when you go to that wedding, you won't be alone. You'll have somebody with you, somebody you brought. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm preaching too long. Oh, hear me, church. Hear me, church. Now, I got to get to these things which the Lord gave me, and I'm going to have to go through them quickly. But I got to tell you what the Lord told me was his reason for coming after his church. Before the tribulation period. I want you to know something, friend. I'm a pre-tribulation man. I know that Jesus is coming to get us before that 7 years begin. I know that. There's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind. And I didn't ask God for these things I'm going to tell you because I doubted. I asked him because I wanted to convince you and others. And I asked him and he told me. I want to tell you the first thing God said to me. I love this. He said, I'm coming to get you before the tribulation because of the extent of my love for my children. He said, I love my family. I love every born again Christian. I love everybody that's been washed in my son's blood. I love them. They are my family. They are my children. They are the ones I love. And I'm going to come and get you before the hell comes on this earth because I love you. Is anybody like that but me? Because I love you. Because I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And you heard me read from 2 Peter, long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves you. And he isn't going to leave you here to face the devil. He's going to take you out of here. I like that point, Brother Lawless. Oh, I do. I shouted for 2 days over that one point. I mean, I shouted. I got so happy. I squalled right here when the Holy Ghost spoke it to me. I just squalled, God, you mean you love me? And that's the reason you're going to get me before it all hell breaks loose. Yes, son, I love you. Sister Angel, he loves you. Sister Phoebe, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I want to tell you something. If you belong to him, you are the lover of his heart. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So don't forget that. How many will repeat that? Tell somebody why he's coming before the tribulation. Because he loves you. I'm going to try to move a little quicker, okay? Just give me patience, okay? He loves you. That's why he's coming. Have you ever heard of anybody, the fall comes, the potatoes are under the plants out in the garden, the wonderful squash is hanging on the vines, and the scuppidines down in the vine yard, the vineyard, they're just hanging with scuppidines. Have you ever heard of anybody during the fall that refuses to gather the harvest and waits for it to go through the winter? Jesus said to me, I'm going to come because I come for the harvest before winter time. And the harvest is my souls and my sons and my daughters all over the world. And the Lord said, that's so rich to me. The harvest is in the fall. He doesn't wait till the winter period. He doesn't wait for the foot of snow. He don't wait for some storm. He don't wait for some horrible moment to happen during the winter and the terrible cold weather. He comes and gets the harvest before the winter comes. And the Lord said, I'm coming for the harvest before the judgment comes. I'm coming for the harvest before the winter begins. That's important to me. Now, I don't know what you think about it, but I believe you gather your garden in the fall, not the spring. Amen. You don't wait for winter to come. Everything you've got in that garden will rot and be destroyed when the springtime comes if you don't gather it in the fall. I mean, that's just Bible. That's a natural phenomenon, really. You can't get past that. That's extremely important. Extremely important. Then, here's something else that he said to me. Salvation is a salvation from sin and all of its consequences. And the worst of them is the wrath of God. So when he saved you, Jesus said this plainly to my heart, when he saves you both from sin and the consequence of sin. Now listen to me. He saves you from sin and from the wrath that sin will create in the mind of God. So he saves you from the wrath, just like he saves you from your sins. Man, what ridiculous theology to say that God saves me from my sins, but doesn't save me from the wrath to come. Oh, he's not going to raise your hand and say hallelujah, would you? Hallelujah. He saves you both from sin and from the wrath of sin. Woo, hallelujah. So he's going to come get you before the wrath comes. Woo, somebody help me shout. I'm telling you, you all preach me to death. Nobody shout with me. Hallelujah. He saved me from my sins 66 years ago. I've never been afraid of the wrath since then. How many know that the wrath is taken care of? How many know that? Come on, let me see your hand. You know the wrath is taken care of. Now, you got 3 points. And they're beautiful to me. I don't know how they are to you, but they're beautiful to me. But I want to give you number four. I want you to listen now. I want you to listen now. Jesus made it plain to my heart. He will not leave you here when he turns this earth over to the devil. Now Jesus made it, this is how he spoke to my heart by the Spirit, by just the inspirations of God flooding down over me. You see, you got to understand this. This earth right now is terrible. And Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And Satan is doing some terrible and dark things. But you listen to me. The moment the 7-year tribulation period starts, he turns this earth over to the devil. And the devil is loose on this earth without restraints. The only restraint that there will be on the devil during those 7 years is what people resist of him by the blood of Jesus and by her faith in God. And this earth will absolutely be the place where Satan, you know, go to Revelation 13. He gets cast out of heaven and he comes down to the earth. And what does the Bible say about him? With great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short season. When you understand that this earth is actually the devil's for 7 years, the devil will be the God of this earth. He's been planning this for 6,000 years, and he is going to be one glee-filled evil one. He is coming on this earth, and he's going to be the God of this earth, and the church world is going to follow the devil and think he's God, and they're going to follow his Antichrist and think he's the real Christ, and they're going to follow his false prophet and think he's the real Holy Spirit, and it's going to be hell on earth. And God is turning this earth over to the devil. And anybody that thinks God is so foolish that he would leave his loving family here to face that, they don't understand God. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 So Jesus said, when I turn this earth over to the devil, I don't want my family nowhere for him to see. Except looking up. Except looking up. He'll see us up there. Did you know that the Bible says, when we're up in heaven, that Satan is going to cast blasphemies at us? He's going to scream, yeah! He's going to holler at Joe Chambers, you rascal, you fought me for all your life. Yes, I did, devil, and I won. I'm up here, and you're down there. Woo! Hallelujah! So, understand it. The reason Jesus said, I'm getting you, is because I'm turning this over to the devil. And there's no way you could be there. There's no way I could leave you there. There's no common sense. What's wrong with these mid-tribbers and post-tribbers? I think they're crazy. You say, Brother Chambers, you're being kind of unkind. Well, somebody need to be unkind to that bunch of dudes. I dealt with one last night. He said, well, I'm ready to go in case he comes pre-trib. I said, I don't think it's going to happen. It won't work that way. I think you've got to be watching for him. How many of you think you got to be watching for him? Ah, he's coming, friends. He's coming. Now, I know I got to bring this to a close because somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to give your heart to Jesus this morning. Really do. Somebody needs to give your heart to Jesus. But I got one more. I want to share it with you. The Bible says that during that 7 years, it is a time of dark wrath. It is a time of wrath of such a nature. The wrath of God poured out. The wrath of Jesus poured out. The wrath of the Spirit poured out. The wrath of the devil manifest and poured out. You got every power you can imagine. That both is the judgment from God and the wicked one that God has turned the earth over to. It's going to be a hellish mess. If you'll go to Revelation chapter 6, I will show you the attitude of those on the earth. Go to verse 14. And the heavens, this is Revelation 6 and 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island was moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondsman, every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountain. Now I want to stop there before I read the next verse. We're talking about now during the tribulation period, and this is somewhere in the early first half. We're talking about the wicked in the world seeing what's happening. And they go running, finding mountains. They find rocks. They find anything to hide from. Anything. They're scared to death. They are running, and then they look up. Do you know what the wicked will actually see during the tribulation period when they look up? They'll see God on his throne. They'll see Jesus. And they cry out, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. See, it is impossible to think of us being here. Now, why is it impossible? Let me take you to the cross. Are you listening? Please don't leave me yet. Listen. Let me take you to the cross. He's hanging there between heaven and earth. And they are screaming at him. I mean, the evil things they did to him when they crucified him, they're almost unimaginable. And he looks out at them. And all the wrath of sin and wickedness has come to bear upon him. And he looks at them and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you know what? When Jesus was hanging there at that moment, he took the wrath of sin. He placed it on the top of his own heart. He became a vicarious redeemer. Vicarious means he took our guilt from us, for us, in our behalf. He actually took my darkest sins and my ugliest moments and my most wicked thoughts before I was converted, or any I've had to face since I've been converted. He took every one of them, and he bore the wrath of all of that for me. He bore it for me, and hanging there, it was, I mean, he literally hung there with the sin of the world on him, crying out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And the sin load became so heavy, and the wrath of all the wickedness of every generation hanging over top of him. And he was being wicked for us, not guilty, but wicked by vicarious surrender and sacrifice. And hanging there, the wrath of God fell on him, and God turned his back and would not even look at his son dying. And the son, after 3 hours of the darkness and the hell of being there with the wrath of all our sins on his back and on his shoulder, the wrath of every wicked thing ever that man had done hanging over him for 3 hours. And the 3 hours became so intense, he finally cried out, My God! My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Somebody help me. The wrath of your sins was on top of him. And it is impossible for the wrath of our sins to be borne by him on Calvary and for then me to bear them also during the tribulation period. Hallelujah. So the wrath of my sins is gone. I said the wrath of my sins are gone. And the wrath of your sins are gone. Every dark thing you did. Every ugly thing you said. Every old malicious thing that came out of your lips. Everything you've ever done evil and wrong. He took it for you. Didn't he? Didn't just bear the sin. He bore the wrath of the sin. So he said, how can you be here during my wrath when I've already borne it for you? Did you hear what I said? How can you be here during the wrath when I've already borne it for you? You are accused in Calvary when you try to say that you got to be here during the 7-year tribulation period. You're accusing Calvary. You're saying Calvary wasn't sufficient enough to bear my wrath for me. And I'm here to tell you, Calvary not only bore my sins, it bore my wrath. I don't have any wrath. I'm not facing no wrath. I'm going to be out of here when that wrath comes. Somebody help me now. Now, are you convinced that you can't be here during the tribulation period? I gave you 5 things. Don't you forget them. He loves you too much. He loves you too much. Don't you forget that. Oh, no. Thank God for how much he loves us. Every one of these points I think are important, and I want them to ever be with you, and I want us to be a messenger against these dark doctrines that we got to be here during the... Somebody brought me a message this morning from someone on Facebook. It was so crazy. Where do these people come from? They're just totally contrary to the Bible. I mean, listen to the Bible. You don't need anything but the Bible. But I like the things I've given you this morning. Because he's coming. Now bow your heads, will you? You mind bowing your heads? I want you to pray. Somebody in this building, somebody, you need Jesus. Please, don't leave here without Jesus. I want you to give him your sins. And I want you to give him your wrath. Thank God he's borne my wrath for me. Thank God, Sister Noma, I don't have to bear this wrath. I don't need to be here during that period. There's just no way. He's already borne my wrath. I think that's the most wonderful thing in the world, is to know he's already borne our wrath on the cross. Not just our sins, but our wrath. Father, oh, Father, thank you. He's in this house. Play for me. They'll sing in a moment. Listen to me, church. If you're not saved, if you haven't, see, all you got to do, he loves you as much as he loves me. All you got to do is walk down here to this altar and repent of your sins. You can do it in your pew. Lord, forgive me of my wicked ways. Forgive me when I've sinned. We've all have sinned. But if you're ready to ask him to forgive you, then ask him. And then come and turn your life over to him. He's got to be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. You can't serve him and live for the devil 5 days a week and serve him two, or even just one. It's got to be a 7-day affair. I want everybody to stand. And I want anybody that wants to surrender your life to Christ, and you want to know that you're ready to go, I want you to walk out of your seat. You mean, you're just one of us. I had to do it. I was glad to do it. Was you glad to repent and turn to Christ? I mean, let me see your hand if you were glad to repent and turn to Christ. It's a joy. So I'm inviting you to come while they sing. The altar's open in Jesus' name. Sing.
He is Lord.
Sing it out. Oh, he is.
He is Lord.
Oh, I would love for somebody to come to Christ.
And he has
risen from the dead.
From the dead.
And he is Lord.
And, he is,
and if you've been
Lord,
careless, step out and come. You're ready to re-surrender. You're ready to respond, accepting the invitation. Step out and come. Hallelujah.
Every time.
Now I'm not going to beg of you.
Confess,
you don't accept an invitation to a wedding because someone begs you. You do it because you want to be there. Would you come?
He is Lord.
Some, everybody sing it out with you. Come quickly, I'm standing here to welcome you. Hallelujah. Somebody will pray with you and you can repent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And he has risen
from the dead. And he is Lord.
And he is Lord.
Now if you can say he is Lord, raise your hand way up high. I'm making him Lord this morning afresh. I'm making him Lord afresh. Raise your hand, everybody, if he's Lord. If you can't raise your hand, please leave and come to the altar receiving Christ. I don't want you to leave here unprepared. Throw your hands high and cry out to him you're loving him. Hallelujah. Jesus, sing it. Hallelujah. I love you. There's somebody that needs to come. I wish you would come. I'm waiting on you.
Yes, he is Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is Lord.
Yes, he is Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And
he has risen.
Has risen.
All right, I'm inviting everybody to meet me at the altar. The whole building. Visitors, come.
Sick for a country to which I've never
and time won't matter anymore. Beulah and I'm longing for you, and someday I'll stand and there.